Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Aleph. At the end of our previous shiur, we gave a bit of an introduction to this section. We pointed out that the bow tie that you see that opens up today's shiur essentially represents a quote from the Tanaic source that we saw back on Daf Ayin, where we had seen a machlokis, Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Akiva, as to what the source for the disqualification of an orel, an uncircumcised Kohen, with regard to eating truma, where he is disqualified from eating of truma. Rabbi Akiva presents his source, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer, who had learned a gzeirah shava, toshav v'sochir, from the topic of a korban Pesach. We continue with our Gemara. Omar Mor, Rabbi Kiva Omer Eino Tzorach. Rabbi Kiva says you don't need the source that Rabbi Eliezer provided. In other words, the gzeirah shava. Ela is a harehu Omer ish ish l'rabois es ha'orel. And it was noteworthy that we read the pasuk that was quoted by Rashi back on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, where the pasuk had said Ish Ish Mizera Aaron V'Hutzorua Oizov. The double expression Ish Ish comes to include an orel who is like a tomei. A tomei is someone who is defiled, who cannot partake of truma. Likewise, the orel is disqualified. The Gemara asks, V'eimo l'rabois es ha'oinein. Let us say that Ishish comes to include the onein as being prohibited in eating truma. We spoke at length about the onein in our previous shiur because the issue came up with regard to Rabbi Lezer as well. The onein, the person who was recently bereaved of an individual, of a close relative before the burial. During that time, between demise and burial of the close relative, the surviving relative is called an onein. So we know, by the way, that an onein is someone that is restricted from, let us say, meiser sheni, where the pasuk says lo achalti be'oni mimenu. So we find an onein does experience restrictions or is disqualified from certain things. What about truma? So we are working with the understanding that an onein partakes of truma. But if you're saying ish comes to include others than those specified in the pasuk as being disqualified from truma, and we're saying the orel, well, maybe we should include the onein. Omar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chinina Omar Kra. The pasuk answers that, rejects that suggestion. The pasuk says v'chol zor zorus omar tiloch. A zar, a non kohen, is posel from truma. Veloi aninus. Aninus is this particular state of being, not an individual category, not a personal classification. So Zorus, which is a personal classification, a non-Kohen, he is disqualified from truma, but not aninus. Emo velo arlus. You, when you read the pasuk, v'chol zar lo yochalbo, the zar shall not eat of truma. So you're saying he is disqualified, but someone else is not. Well, maybe that someone else who is not disqualified is the orel. So the Gemara responds, but Hoksiv, how can you allow an orel when at the same time the pasuk says ish ish, which comes to include the orel as being disqualified from truma? The Gemara asks, Uma Ro'is, what is it that you see to say that Ishish includes the Orel and V'chol Zar excludes the Onein? Why not say the other way around, that Ishish comes to include the Onein as being prohibited, and V'chol Zar, Zoros, Veloan, and Velo, Arelus? The Gemara says, Mistabra Arlus Have Leilubu. It's more likely, the logical, that Arlus is that which is being included, as prohibited, chicane, and here you have a memory device, four words that are keywords for appreciating the 4 points that will follow. The keywords are meisim, krusim, badover, ho'evet. And these are points that we elaborated on in our previous year, so it would serve our best interest if we just abbreviate here, and we would expect you to be familiar with this from the previous year. The 4 points are mechusar maisa. The Oreo is a significant problem in that he's lacking an action, the action of cutting, of circumcising. Umaisa begufo is something in one's own body. The onish kores, it's severe, it carries with it a kores penalty, that one who is uncircumcised. Uvayeshno lefnei adibor, and it was given to the Jewish people before the Torah was given. We know that it's a mitzvah from the time of Avram Avinu. We mistakenly said four items, but really there's a fifth. Umilas zechorav avodav me'akeves. And when it comes to the Korban Pesach, we know that this is a binding factor, that circumcision is binding on one's sons and slaves if they have been circumcised, so the father, the owner, cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. It just occurs to me right now that maybe the reason that we only had four simonim and this Milas Avodov wasn't mentioned, because really we're focusing within Rabbi Akiva on the issue of Truma. Rabbi Akiva is not learning from the Korban Pesach. So this might have been cited sort of like by the way, because we had seen this before, but nevertheless we know that circumcision is a astringency insofar as when it comes to the Korban Pesach, so it is a binding factor. But this has to be looked into more. Why is this in fact mentioned? That being a factor by the Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, well, adarabba, if you're trying to pit Arlus versus Aninus, and you're trying to show how Arlus is the more likely candidate to be disqualified from Truma, I will say to the contrary. Aninus, we should include Aninus as being that which is disqualified. Shekein yeshna b'chol sha'a, v'noyheges v'anoshim v'noshim, v'ein b'yodah l'sakin atzmo. As opposed to circumcision, which is a one-time event, one removes his own foreskin, but the case of Aninus is something that could unfortunately happen at any time, whenever a close relative dies. So it's not a one-time event. The Noheges Banoshim Banoshim, it applies, it's cross-gender, both to males and females, as opposed to circumcision. And the Ein B'Yodah L'Sakin Atzmo, when one becomes an Onan, he can't get, it's not something that one can remove from himself. It's not a problem that's subject to your having control over. So that makes it a more severe consideration. So maybe, in fact, the Onain should be excluded or disqualified from Truma. So let's choose. So the Gemara answers, Hanoch Nefishon. The considerations that you find by Arlus are greater in number. We have four or five considerations over versus the mere three that you find by Aninus. Rava Omar, Rava says that Belav Hanoch Nefishon, without that consideration of numbers, Nami Lo Motzis Amris, you still couldn't say that we will accept an Orel, that an Orel should be Mutter Betruma. And why not? Well, the Pasuk says Omakra Ish Ish. The word Ish, which is the basis of Rabbi Kiva's drasha, happens to be a word referring to the male. Ezu Dovor Sheshno B'Ish Ve'eno B'Isha. What is that which you find only by men and not by women? Heveyomer Zeh Arlus. That is what the Torah is focusing on. And it could not be focusing on Aninus, because we said just before that Aninus is cross-gender, affects males and females. So the fact that the Torah uses the word Ish to be the inclusionary expression, it's then, according to Rava, obvious that it's referring to something that's male-related, hence circumcision. The Gemara asks, "V'Rebbe Akiva, hi Toshe v'Socher my Ovid Lei." What does Rebbe Akiva do with the pasuk, with the source that Rebbe Eliezer, his counterpart, had used as the source for the arlus disqualification from truma. Omar Rav Shmaya, and we should take a note of the structure. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, mivne heading, topic heading with structural note. The triangles that you see here are nisyonis lahasbir, attempts to explain ma dorish Rabbi Kiva, what does Rabbi Kiva derive mitoshev v'sochir. Psuko shrabi Rabbi Lezer livsol orel b'trum. This was Rabbi Lezer's posuk for disqualifying the orel, the uncircumcised kohen, from truma. So what does Rabbi Kiva do with that source? Number one, Omar Rav Shmaya, lasuye Aravi Mahul V'Givoni Mahul. The Tosha V'Sochir expression you found by the Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Akiva says Tosha V'Sochir comes to include an Arab or a Givoni. These are people that practice circumcision, where they're not Jewish people, but they practice circumcision, and we tell you that they are excluded. They cannot eat from a Korban Pesach. Rashi says very simply, the Gemara asks, now in order to say this, in order to say Rav Shmaya's point, there is an assumption that's made that your basic, let's say, Gentile who is circumcised, you on your own, you would have classified him as someone who is mahul, and therefore you need the Torah to tell you that even though he's classified as mahul, he cannot partake of a Korban Pesach. We're going to now question that assumption. The Hani Mulin Ninu, are these the Aravi and the Givoini, these peoples, are they considered mulin? Mulin means circumcised. Now here we have a brilliant example of something that we here in Gemara markings emphasize all the time, that there is something called a translation level of understanding, which very often is misleading. It leads to inaccuracy in Talmud study. And then there is approaching things conceptually. So here we have a clash between translation and concept. So here you have a case where a person is physically, these are non-Jews, who are physically circumcised. The foreskin of their male gender organ has been removed. Does that make them conceptually someone who is called nimol? Maybe here it would be not accurate to use the English word, because the English word represents the action of removing the foreskin. We're not interested in that. We're interested in a halachic category of a nimol. The word nimol is like the word milah, bris milah. So the Gemara asks, Vahani mulin ninu, are these people considered conceptually mulin, therefore justifying the need for a pasuk to exclude them? Vahatnan, we have a Tanaic source that will prove they're not even considered mulin in the first place, so that they are obviously excluded from the Korban Pesach. They're conceptually arelim, meaning even though their foreskin has been removed, conceptually they're considered orel, and the Torah already says that an orel shall not partake of the Korban Pesach. You don't need toshav v'sochir, that those extra words are here to where the pasuk said toshav v'sochir lo yochabo, you don't need those words to key me into the aravi and givoni that were circumcised. The source is taken from Maseches Nedorim. This is that's a tractate that deals with vows, and vows are based on not just the words that come out of your mouth, but the connotation, the intention, the implication of one's words. So here we have a case where we'll illustrate the difference between an orel and one who is uncircumcised. One's conceptual and one is physical. Kainim shani nene larelim. A person takes upon himself by vow not to enjoy or benefit from people that are arelim. Mutter ba'arle Yisrael. The osur b'mulei oivdei kechavim. Now there's the other person that forswore benefit from an orel. Okay, so he cannot benefit from an orel. This person is allowed to receive benefit from an uncircumcised Jew, but he is proscribed, he is forbidden from benefiting from a circumcised idol worshiper. What do we see from here? And we dashed underline this. Mule oivdei chachamim. Though their foreskin was removed, they're still conceptually called an orel. And his vow was, I'm not going to benefit from an orel. He cannot benefit as a result of his vow from an idol worshiper, even if he happened to be circumcised. And we already know that an orel cannot partake of a korban pesach. The pasuk says, v'chol orel lo yochal bo. And in contrast, kainim shanineh lemulin, if a person says, I'm not going to derive benefit from mulin, people that are circumcised. Mutar b'mulei oivdei chachamim, he's allowed to benefit from a circumcised Gentile, even though he says, I'm not to derive benefit from someone who is nimol, because mila and circumcision are not one and the same. Mulin is a concept, and circumcision is a physical act. So he's not to benefit. He says he's forswearing benefit from mulin v'yotzer b'har le'Yisrael. So just to review the point in a terse fashion, Rabbi Kiva does not need toshav esachir to do what Rav Shmaya suggested, to include as prohibited from Korban Pesach these Gentiles that happen to have been circumcised. The fact that they were circumcised doesn't take them out of the category of being an Orel. An Orel has its own source for being disqualified from Korban Pesach consumption. Elola suye. So what does Toshav V'sochir do? It comes to include Ger Shemol V'lo Toval and the Koton Shenolik Shemol V'gosovar Tzorach Latif Menu Dabris. A person who had converted to Judaism, and part of converting to Judaism involves circumcising as well as immersion in a mikvah. So if you have a convert who circumcised himself but did not immerse in the mikvah, or you have an individual who was born circumcised, but Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that when one is born circumcised, an action to the male organ must take place. There's no foreskin to remove because he's born circumcised. Nevertheless, the area has to be pricked so that there's a slight blood flow, which would be the equivalent of his bris milah. So the Torah, by saying toshiv esochel yochabo, the Torah is saying that a convert who only did the immersion, only did the milah and did not do the immersion, or someone who was born mohu and did not do the hatovas dam bris, they are disqualified through those words toshav esochir lo yochabo. For Rabbi Eliezer, l'tamei, Rabbi Eliezer does not exclude those people from korban pesach by not excluding them, by saying they're okay. He is l'tamei. He is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. De Omar, Rabbi Eliezer has said ger shemol v'lo toval, a convert who circumcised did not immerse in a mikveh, ger ma'al yehu, he's a full-fledged ger, he's fine. Because sovereign, he also has kotten shenolad mol ein tzorech lahatif mimenu dambris. A child born already with foreskin removed does not have to do anything further, and therefore he's kosher, and therefore he doesn't need toshav esochir to include as prohibited people that are okay. These two kinds of people are okay. Rabbi Lezer, hi ishish my avidle. What does Rabbi Lezer do with Rabbi Akiva's source? Rabbi Akiva had said that the double expression of ishish came to include an orel as being prohibited from the Korban Pesach. Prohibited from truma. What does Rabbi Lezer do with the double expression in the context of truma of ishish? Answer: he doesn't learn any any particular applied halacha, but rather dibra Torah kaloshen b'nei adam. There are occasions where the Torah uses a type of speech that commoners would use in order to emphasize a point, to make something clear. So people oftentimes will just use a double expression. They'll say things in a double fashion in order to draw your attention. That's called Lashon Hara, the way people speak. So there's nothing in Reb Lezer's opinion that ish is there to include per se. Boy Rav Chama Bar Ukva. Rav Chama raises a question. Koton Orel. A koton referred to here means a child, a newborn, is within his first 8 days of life. At that time, he is not to be circumcised. He's circumcised on the 8th day, not before that. Koton Orel. Mahu Lasuchoi B'Shemen Shel Truma. Shemen is oil made from, let's say, olive oil, olives that were tithed, or the oil was tithed as truma. There's a concept that says sicha kishtia, and that's based on psukim, that anointment, smearing of oil, is tantamount to drinking, to consuming. So here we have an example of an orel, who would be experiencing a type of truma consumption. However, you have a couple factors here. Obviously, there's the anointing issue, but the Gemara is not going to focus on that. What the Gemara is going to focus on is the fact that he is pre-circumcision in age. So how does the Gemara phrase the question? Arlus shelo bizmana ma'akva oiloi ma'akva. When we speak about an orel being excluded or disqualified from truma, that's when you're dealing with an orel that has reached the time to circumcise and hasn't done it. Here we're dealing with someone that hasn't even reached the time. Is it me'akev? Is it a restrictive factor in benefiting in this type of truma consumption? The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Zera, Toshma. Notice we have a long answer ahead of us. He says, Rabbi Zera says, let's listen to the following source. Ein li elo milas zechorov b'shas asiya, vavodov b'shas achila. Now this source is coming kind of like in the middle of a discussion. So Rashi gives some background. If we look together at the Rashi, about halfway down the Rashi commentary, Ein li la'akev v'pesach l'amil zechorov sheyesh lo b'shas asiya. As far as the psukim are concerned, I would say that a person's zechorov, person's male sons that he has at the time of asiya. Asiya means the time of slaughtering the korban pesach. The gabi milas zechorov k'siv, it says v'oz yikrav la'asoy soy. That's the action, the slaughtering. We should point out that the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach is from approximately noon time. So the timing here for this particular session is something to note, that if a person has at the time, at the noon time of day, uncircumcised sons, that's Milas Zechorov, so he is not to do the Korban Pesach. Rashi continues, Vagabi Avodov Ksiv, in the context of slaves, it says, Oz Yoichal Boy. Dafilu Lohavi Le Evid Bishas Asiya, Vahoyalo Bishas Achila. If a person, let us say, did not have the slave at the time of, at noontime on the 14th of Nisan, the time for doing the Korban Pesach, but he acquired the slave after sundown, which is the time of achila, the evening. The evening is the time of eating. So that even though at the time of the doing everything was fine as far as this owner is concerned, he didn't own the slave that was uncircumcised. But lo and behold, as he was about to partake of his Korban Pesach, he acquires a slave that's uncircumcised. He cannot eat. So that's what those are givens, that Milas Zechorov is Ma'akev at the time of Asiya, and Milas Avodov is Ma'akev at the time of Achila. And that's what this source is referring to. We continue in the text. Minayin litein es amur shozeh bozeh, es amur shozeh bozeh. From where do I know to apply that Milas Zechorov is Ma'akev at the time of Achila, and Milas Avodov is Ma'akev at the time of Asiya? The Gemara will now break these down into their component parts. Bishlamo Avodov, as far as the cases involving servants, this we can understand. Mishkachas law, you can have a case, the isnu b'shas achila v'lesnu b'shas asiya, where you had where the issue of the slave came up at the time of eating, and it was a non-issue at the time of the doing, the slaughtering. Kigon dezavninu beini, where you bought the slave in the middle, time-wise, meaning after noon set in, at the point that noon set in, everything was fine. You didn't own the slave, so you were able at that time. You were able to slaughter the Korban Pesach, and then after you did that, and the afternoon hours set in, you bought a slave that was uncircumcised. So the Torah is telling you that even under those circumstances, you cannot eat of the Korban Pesach. When I say even, meaning even though at the time of the slaughtering things were fine, but at the time of the eating, you've now acquired a slave. You bought a slave before the time of eating, and he is uncircumcised. You cannot eat of the Korban Pesach. Ela Zecharov, but the case of your own sons, the Isnu B'Shas Achila, the we'll say the equivalent case, that you have a son at the time of eating, and you don't have the son, you don't have a child at the time of doing of the Korban Pesach. How do you envision such a case? Is it not so that very simply at 3 in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, a child was born to you? Namely, when noon set in, which is the official time for the beginning of the Korban Pesach, no son. After that, before the eating time came, you had a child. And what do we see the effects of that child are in this pasuk? That Milas Zecharov are Ma'akev B'Shas Achila. Who is Ma'akev right now? A child, a newborn. Shma Mina, we conclude from here, Arlus Shelo Bizmano, Havi Arlus, that someone who was classified as someone who was physically uncircumcised, even though he couldn't have been circumcised because the time hasn't arrived yet. It's just the first day of his life. Nevertheless, conceptually, he's categorized as an Orel and prevents the father from eating the Korban Pesach. So that if the question was, Rav Chamo Bar Ukva's question had been, what? Can you smear a newborn Kohen with Truma oil? The answer would be no. Omar Rava. Rava comes in and is Doche. He rejects our conclusion. V'tizbara. The Pasuk says, Himoil loy kol zachar. And then you can eat from the pasuk, from the Pesach. The Torah says, first circumcise all your males, and then eat from the Korban Pesach. V'oz yikrav la'asoso. So again, Himoil loy kol zachar, Omar Achmona. V'oz yikrav la'asoso. First circumcise all your children, and then do the Korban Pesach. V'hai lav bar mihilahu. What is the Torah exhorting one to do? To take care of circumcisions that you're able to do, that their time has arrived. But someone whose time hasn't arrived, the Torah is not insisting upon your doing circumcision to him. Elo hocha b'mayaskinon. What we have to do now, and that's what we... if you notice, we have on the side, under the Mivneh heading reads, it features the triangle, five tshuvois, five answers, or five explanations, shel mitzias, a reality, she'ein psul arlus bivnoi b'shas hasiya, where at the time of the onset of processing the Korban Pesach, there was the arlus problem did not exist. V'yesh psul achar kach b'shas achila, but when eating time comes, then you do have a problem of milas zecharov. What are the circumstances? The case we just had, namely that there was at the time of the doing of the Pesach, the child wasn't born, and then afterwards, before the eating time, you had a child. The Torah does not view that as a problem. So that's not a good example of arlus shelo bizmano. So what is the case featured in the Tanaic source of not fit at the time of achila, but at the time of asiyah, there was no problem of milas zecharav? So the Gemara answers, and this is answer number one: kegain shecholsosai chamo. First, we translate. We're talking about a case where chamo is fever. Cholsosai means removed. The fever subsided. So that at the time of of course, we have to point out that a child who is feverish is not to be circumcised. The fever was there at noontime, and somewhere late in the afternoon, the fever departed. So what does that do for us? That's a case of he wasn't fit for being circumcised at the time of Asiyah, which is what the Pasuk had referred to. But at the time of Achila, he had become qualified because the fever departed. The Gemara asks, do you know anything about infants and fever and circumcision? V'nesiv le'kol shiva. He's not fit for... If he was a child that had a fever at noontime, and the fever departed afterwards, he's still not fit for doing the Korban Pesach. He has 7 days, we call 7 recuperative days, 7 days of recuperation for having experienced feverishness. The Gemara answers, we're going to stick with the fever explanation, simply, Dihavinon Le Kol Shiva. The 14th of Nisan is actually a week away, and there was a week has gone by already. The Gemara asks, oh, well, if the week has gone by already, V'nimale Mitzafra, why not have him circumcised in the morning? So that, and if he's not circumcised in the morning, his arlus, his uncircumcised state is already ma'akev, is already a preventing factor from the time of asiyah, from noon. And I don't need a pusuk. If that were the case of the pusuk, then what do I need a pusuk to include shas achila as being ma'akev? His problem was already from noontime, as being an example of someone uncircumcised that should have been circumcised. So how do I create a case of being disqualified only as far as shas achila is concerned? The Gemara answers, when it comes to feverishness, bo'inon where at the top of Amid Beis meis leis. Oftentimes means a full 24 hours. But in this context, it doesn't mean 24 hours. It means to the very time of day. That means if a week ago he was feverish, let us say, at 3 in the afternoon, so we give him 7 days, and we say 7 days later, at 3 in the afternoon, he can now be circumcised. Oh, so if that's the case, since he was feverish 7 days ago at 2 in the afternoon and at 1 in the afternoon, when noontime came, it's less than me'eis le'eis, it's less than the full hour-to-hour same hour, 7 days, 7 days later, you haven't reached it yet. When the fever departs at 3 in the afternoon, but at the time of Asiyah, which is determined by 12, by 12:30, you know, at the 12 and a half hour afternoon, you could not have circumcised him. What's the first opportunity to circumcise him? That's only Bishas Achila. But Bishas Asiyah, he wasn't qualified for circumcision. This would then be a good illustration of someone not fit at the time, where he wasn't a candidate for Mila Bishas Asiyah, but became a candidate for Achila, for Mila Bishas Achila. And we say that that's Ma'akev. The Gemara asks, Vahotani Ludol. Ludol is the name of an individual. He teaches the following source, Yom Havra'oso, Kiyom Hivoldo. The laws concerning recuperation, Havra'oso means from the word Bori, becoming healthy. The day, the laws regarding the day he becomes healthy are like the laws regarding the day of birth. And when we talk about a child and circumcision on day 8, we say 8 days after he is born. So, my love, my yom hivaldo lobo inon meis la'eis. Imagine a child is born on very late Monday afternoon. When is he circumcised? Well, 8 days later. 8 days later is Monday. If you count inclusively from Monday till Monday, you find 8 days. For circumcision on a healthy baby, do we require me'eis la'eis? That if he was born at 5 in the afternoon, an hour before sundown, do we say that you don't circumcise him until Monday a week later? 5 in the afternoon? No, we don't say that. Rather, the halacha says that at the crack of at sunrise on Monday, even though 8 full days have not gone by, we don't require me'eis la'eis from the same hour to that very same hour. What is the source saying? The laws concerning recuperation, Yom Avroso, is like the day of birth. Just like the day of birth, there's no me'eis la'eis requirement. Af Yom Avroso, lo bo'inon me'eis la'eis. We don't require that same meeting of the hour. So that if the fever departed 7 days early at 3 in the afternoon, a week later, from the morning already, he should be circumcised. As long as a week goes by, he should be circumcised from the morning hour. So we don't have an example of someone that is unfit for circumcision at Shas Asiyah and becomes fit at Shas Achila. The Gemara says that is not true. In other words, the explanation of this source of Yom Havra'asok, Yom Hivaldo, that we gave is not true. Lo, Adif Yom Havra'asok Miyom Hivaldo. The laws regarding the day of recuperation are more demanding, more stringent than the laws concerning a healthy child being circumcised 8 days after the day of his birth. When it comes to the issue of for a healthy child, 8 days since his birth, we don't require me'eis la'eis. We don't check off the time of day that he was born and say that same time 8 days later he is circumcised. Not, we don't do that. When we speak about you need 7 days, we mean 7 full days before you can circumcise. 7 full days to the hour from the point that the fever departed, 7 days later to the hour, and only then you can do the circumcision. So with that explanation in mind, we have a good example of what I need the pasuk to feature, Milas Zakharov, even if he is unfit to be circumcised at Yom at the time of Asiyah, becomes fit at the time of Achila, and that is Me'akev. Rav Papa Omar, Kagon de Koyev Le'aine Le'anuka, the Ispach Beini Uveni. Another phenomenon that can restrict circumcision is an eye infection. The Rav Papa describes koiv le'ene is eye hurt, the child's, the infant's eye hurt, and it hurt and got better, the infection disappeared, and late afternoon of the 14th of Nisan. That's the child, the translation of koyev leini, the eye hurt the child, the yanuka. The yanuka is the infant. The isbach means recuperated and healed, beini beini, in the interim. In other words, after the shas asiyah already set in, at the time of shas asiyah, well, koyev leini, the child could not have been circumcised. But a couple hours later, the infection subsided, the pain, whatever the pain or the problem departed, and you don't need here the waiting of 7 days. The 7 day waiting that we described before is something that's unique to feverishness. Here you're dealing with something else. So we're telling you that in a case like that, where at noontime the eye infection was present, and at 3 PM it was no longer present, this man, unless he circumcises that child, will not be able to partake of the Korban Pesach. Rava Omar, Kigon Shahoyu Oviv V'imo Chavushin Beveis Asurin. The obligation of Milah is an obligation that rests upon the parents. The parents are supposed to circumcise their infant son. So if the parents were incarcerated, they were chavush beis asurim, they were in prison. They were in prison on the 14th of Nisan, in the morning and at the noon hour. They were released somewhere late in the afternoon. So now we have described a situation where the child could not have been circumcised in the morning hours, prior to noon, so he didn't represent a disqualifying factor. But since the parents were released late in the afternoon, unless the child is circumcised, so that those parents will not be able to take part of the Korban Pesach. The father won't be able to partake of the Korban Pesach because he had on his hands a child that he could have circumcised. Rav Kana Brei d'Rav Nechemya Omar, Kigon Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimtza Zohar Beini Ubeini. The scenario Rav Kana describes is based on a Tumtum. A Tumtum is a child, and it's a person whose organs of gender are covered over. They're hidden. So you don't know whether or not it's a male or a female. A female obviously doesn't need to be circumcised. So on the side of things, that she's a female, that she wouldn't represent a problem. However, we have a case where the tumtum, an incision was made or a tore open after noon, when at noontime, so this father had a child that he could not have circumcised. But in the afternoon hours, it became revealed that he is a male before the Shas Achila set in. So here is an example of someone that didn't represent a problem b'Shas Asiyah, but represents a problem b'Shas Achila. Rav Shravya, a fifth approach. Omar Kigon Shehoitzi Roishoi Chutz LeProzdor. 8 days ago, a child its mother was pregnant with him, and its head emerged from outside the prozor. The prozor is, we'll call it the birth canal for our purposes. So that, when did this child's birthing begin? After the Shas Asiyah, before the Shas Achila. And when did this happen? 8 days ago. So you have a child that should be circumcised, but the head emerged, as we say, 8 days ago, and now it's the eighth day, and it's time, and he's like becomes fully emerged, fully born on the eighth day. But when? After noon. So at noontime, he couldn't be circumcised. And in the before the Shas Achila, before evening, the child is already completely out of the mother and should have been circumcised. The Gemara asks, Umi Chaya, can this type of child live? What are we describing here? We're describing 8 days ago, his head emerged. And the emerging of the head means that on a halachic level, his birth, the clock that determines when Mila takes place starts ticking. At what point that the Hotzi Roshei Chutzla Prozer, when the head emerges beyond the birth canal, the birth clock, in order to determine Mila, starts running. Comes the eighth day. So here's a child that was born, technically speaking, 8 days ago. But the lower part of his body doesn't emerge until after Shas Asiyah set in. The Gemara asks, can a child like this live, however? And I was, what are we describing? We're describing a kid whose head emerged, the rest of his body is in his mother, and since it's like that for a week. The Ha'atanya, we have the following source, Kevan Shiyotzu L'Avir Ha'olam, when a child's head, when a child is born, comes into this world, Niftach Asosum V'Nistam Apasuach. That which was originally sealed is now open. The child's, let's say, breathing apparatus and food apparatus, his mouth in the womb is sealed. When it's born, it opens up. The baby gasps for air, breathing through its mouth. So it's niftach hasosim, that which was originally sealed is open. V'nistam aposuach, that which was originally open. In terms of the mother, the umbilical cord is now to be sealed up. Shilmole kain, if not for that, ein yochol lichyos afilu shoachas. Kid can't live even a moment. So that what you're describing can't be. There, where the kid's head emerged and the rest of his body did not. So you've got an open mouth and the umbilical cord is still open, so to speak, is still functioning. The child would die. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'maaskinon, kegoin dezansei ishta. This kid didn't have to open his mouth to eat. It was sustained through the fever. Ishta deman, whose fever was sustaining this child for a week. I leimo ishta di day, if you say it's the child's own fever, well then, Ihachi calls Shiva boy. He needs another 7 days. Even if today, on the 14th of Nisan, the fever departed, you still have to wait another 7 days. He's not qualified for being circumcised yet. Elo de Zanse Ishto de Ime. His mother had been feverish. She was feverish for a week. And so, even though the head emerged, that doesn't mean that the kid would not be able to live. And if you thought that he wouldn't be able to live because how is he going to be sustained if his mouth is not open for eating, so we answer he's sustained through the fever of its mother. So that as far as what the source was referring to, the sosum remains sosum, the mouth remains sealed. V'boyosema Hanimili hechodilomavi. That which we said in the source that a kid can't live, that's where the head emerged and it didn't mavi. Mavi has to do with crying. Aval hecho de mavi michyachaya. Or if the head emerged, even if it's a week ago, but there was some type of crying, it can continue living. Before we continue, we have a topic heading on this side. Orel Mekabel Hazah. Hazah is the sprinkling of the waters of the Poraduma, the waters that have the red heifer ash mixed into it, which purifies someone that was Tomei Mace, that had become defiled to the dead. One who has become defiled to the dead, in order to achieve purification, amongst other things, you have to do the Poraduma sprinkling. the where those the waters containing the ash, and the ash water mixture is sprinkled upon the individual who needs purification. That's done, by the way, on the third day and seventh day of the week that one waits in order to achieve purification. So the issue that the Gemara deals with right now is, let us say someone was a tomei meis who was not circumcised. The fact that he was not circumcised, does that pose a problem for the hazah, for the effectiveness of the red heifer water being sprinkled on you? The Gemara opens with a long point, so take note of that. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Binah. Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Binah saying, Orel Mekabel Hazah. That someone who is an Orel can nevertheless benefit from the Hazah, from the sprinkling of the Poraduma waters in his attempt to achieve purification from death defilement. And so how do you know that Orel Mekabel Hazah? Shekein Motzinu Bavoisenu, we found in our forefathers. Our forefathers are forebearers. Those are the Jewish people at the time of the entrance into Eretz Yisrael, the time of Yeshua, at which time they crossed into the land of Israel on the 10th of Nisan. And the issue is, the Jewish people at that time had been Becheskas Tumas Meis. People were dying in the desert, and they had not purified themselves in the desert. We're talking about the nation of Israel that had left Mitzrayim, and their children, their descendants that would enter along with Yoshua. Those people were assumed to be Tomei Meis, and yet they did a Korban Pesach. And they also, and we failed to mention the main point, the people that left, that were born in the desert, they had not circumcised themselves. It was dangerous to be circumcised under those desert conditions. And as far as what those conditions are, so the Gemara will touch upon those that point later, to the bottom of this omit. So what are we describing? We're describing our forebears at the time of Joshua, where they had been Tomei Meis. They needed to have the water of the Poraduma sprinkled on them. And when it was done, they had not as yet been circumcised. So you see that Orel Mekabel Hazah. So we continue in the Gemara text. Shekein Motzinu, we have as a precedent, Ba'avoseinu, our forebears, Shekiblu Hazah Kashein Arelim, that they received, and it was effective, the Hazah, when they were still Arelim. Shenemar Va'om Olu Minayardein Ve'osu L'Chodesh Horishon. The nation emerged from the split Jordan River on the 10th of Nisan. Now, it's important to just know one more point about Poraduma sprinkling. It has to be done on the third day and the seventh day of one's defilement. There are two sprinklings, on third day and seventh day. So you need those two separate days with the required interim days, as we just described. You need that in order to achieve purification. So what happened there in the time of Yoshua? They emerged from the split Jordan River on the 10th of Nisan. Ba'asara lo mehili, on the 10th of Nisan, they didn't circumcise themselves, mishum chulshadurcha, because of their traveling fatigue. Hazah emas ovid lehu, the hazah that was done on these people who were tamei meis, when was it done? Lav kishen arelim. Was it not in fact done one while they were still uncircumcised? And so we see that the process of Mei Poraduma works on someone that hasn't been circumcised. The Gemara tries to reject this, v'dilma lo'avud Pesach klal. Maybe they didn't do a Korban Pesach at all in the time of Yoshua. So you can't bring a proof that from something that's non-existent. So that if they didn't do the Pesach at all, they didn't need to purify themselves. So they don't have a source here for the effectiveness of Mei Paraduma on an Orel. The Gemara rejects that. Lo Sagadaitach. You can't even think that. Dichti Vayasu Es HaPesach. Says there in the book of Joshua that they did a Korban Pesach. Maskifla Marzutra. Marzutra raises an objection. V'dilma Pesach Abba B'tumah Haya. Maybe it was a case of a Korban Pesach where the majority of the people are Tomei. When you have a situation like that, so then the Pesach can be brought by an owner who is Tomei. So hence there's no need for the Pora Aduma water. So that you can't cite the story of Yoshua and their Korban Pesach to serve as a basis for Orel Mekabel Hazah. Maybe there was no need for Hazah at all because it was a Pesach, a Bo Betuma, as we said. Omar Le Ravashi, Tanya Behedyo. Ravashi says we have an explicit source. It says Molu, the Tovlu, Vyosu Pischein, Betahara. So you have that source describing what happened in the time of Yoshua, that they circumcised themselves, they immersed in the mikveh, and they did their Korban Pesach having achieved Tahara. So that you can't say, as was suggested, that it was a Pesach Abba Betuma, in a state of defilement, when it says here, it was a Pesach done in a state of Tahara, purity. Omar Rabo Bar Yitzchok, Omar Rav, Lo Nitno Priyas Mil Avraham Avinu. Now here, we have a new point. The discussion we just had was Orel Mekabel Hazah, and now we have a new point on the side under the Nosei heading. We've written Lo Nitna Priyas Mila Lavrom Avinu. Priyas Mila involves the drawing back of the foreskin, exposing the membrane after the actual incision, circumcision is made. There's something mila. Mila has to do with the removal of the foreskin. And then there's priya. Priya is literally exposure. It's where the foreskin that remains on the body is drawn back. So this idea, this necessity of not merely cutting the foreskin, but also drawing it back, exposing the membrane, this was not something that Avraham Avinu was commanded to do. So that's what the Gemara means. Omar Rav Bar Yitzchok, Omar Rav Lo Nitna Priyas Mila Lavrom Avinu. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, and here you see the tie-in to the Gemara before, it says, Bo'es Ahi, Omar Hashem El Yeshua, at the time that they had crossed into the land of Israel, the Lord, the Almighty, addressed Joshua, and he says, Asei Lecho Charvas Surim, Veshuv Moel Es Bnei Israel Shenis. Prepare for yourself some sharp stones, and that shall serve as the knife, Mila knife. So what do we see from here? That the Priya was given at the time of Yoshua. And how do you see that in the Pasuk? Because it says that they shall circumcise themselves a second time. What do you mean circumcise a second time? That's they were circumcised when they were born. So the expression of Moilas Bnei Yisrael Shenis means a second aspect of the Mila, hence the reference to the Priya, the pulling back of the foreskin. The Gemara asks, "V'dilma hanach delo mohul, dechtiv kimulim hoyu kol ha'am hayoytzim v'chol ha'am hayilodim b'midbar b'derech b'tzeisim v'tzayim lo molu." Who says that the pasuk that we read of Bo'es Ahi Amar Hashem El Yeshua? Who says that that's a reference to Priya? Maybe it's a reference to the basic circumcision regarding all those people that had not been circumcised. Im Kain, the Gemara says, if that were the actual pshat in the pasuk, that the Almighty was exhorting Yoshua to see to it that people that if the pshat is that they it's referring to people that had not been circumcised, Im Kain Mai Shuv. Shuv means again, and that's what it said in pasuk Beis. And we read that it said Veshuv Moil Es Bnei Israel. So if it's first time circumcision people, so what is the word shuv doing? Elo lav lepriya. Rather, it must be a reference to the drawing back of the foreskin. Umay shenis. What does shenis, which appeared in that pasuk, in pasuk Beis, where it said v'shuv moil es bnei Israel shenis? Answer: the word shenis. It doesn't mean a second thing. This is there. We're simply referring to the drawing back of the foreskin. So shenis means it's there la'kushi, to compare soif mila l'tchilas mila matchil, to compare the end of mila to the beginning of mila matchilas mila ma'keves, just like the beginning of the mila is a restrictive or binding factor when it comes to fulfilling the mitzvah. You notice you have to cut off, you have to make a cutting action. So af soif mila ma'akvin bo, so to the end of the mila is binding. This not, and this is now explained in cutting off the foreskin. There could be strips of skin that remain adhered to the membrane. It says in this source, Elu hein tzitzin ha-ma'akfin es ha-mila. The following would be those strips of skin that are binding with regard to mila fulfillment. Boser ha-choyfe es roivu ha-torah v'ein oichel betruma. It would be skin that covers the majority of the atorah, the atorah being the extremity of the male organ. So if there's flesh that remains attached, that's that flesh, or skin that remains attached, is called tzitzin ma'akfin es hamila. And someone, that even though the foreskin was basically cut off, the strips of skin that remain are a restrictive factor for his truma consumption. He's still considered an orel. V'yomar avino v'teimo rav yirmiyo bar abo omar rav bosar ha'choyfe es roiv goiva shel ha'torah. When we speak about the foreskin material that remains attached to the membrane, it doesn't mean it's covering the majority of the membrane, even though the source spoke about choyfes roiv ha'torah. It rather means the roiv goiva shel ha'torah, being literally the height of the ha'torah, so that it's we can call it a vertical measurement as opposed to a horizontal or circumference type measurement. So that even if most of the foreskin has been removed, but a small strip of skin remains covering the height of the atorah being the extremity, the fleshy part at the end of the male organ. If there's a piece of, even a strip of foreskin that constitutes the majority of that height, it is me'akev, it's a binding force, and that the person is not considered circumcised. The Gemara refers back to what we were mentioning before, that in the Midbar, in the desert, the Jewish people did not circumcise themselves. Uva Midbar ma'itaymo lo mohu. Why in the Midbar did they not circumcise themselves? Iboyesema, one approach is Mishum Chulshut Urcha, because they were engaged in travels, and that weakens the human constitution, and hence one is not to circumcise. The Iboyesema, Mishum Dolo Noshivlu Ruach Tzvainis. Another explanation as to why they didn't they didn't circumcise in the desert in their travels, is because the northern wind was not blowing. Rashi at the top says, Ruach Tzvainis Noyach, it's a pleasant wind. Lo chama v'lo tzonenes, it doesn't bring with it heat nor chills. The chama zarachas, and the sun shines. So you need those circumstances for a healthful type circumcision. So we're telling you that here we're at the top line of Ayin Beis Omer Aleph. We're telling you that during those years, the Lo Noshiv Ruach Sfeinis, during the years they were in the Midbar. The Sanyo Kol Yisrael Arvoim Shana Shoy Yisrael Bamidbar, all 40 years that the Jews were in the desert, Lo Noshiv Lehem Ruach Sfeinis, the northern wind did not blow. And we say it didn't blow, Tosfos says it didn't blow on its own. And in order for a healthful meal to take place, you need that. My time, the Gemara asks why during the years in the desert did it not blow. So Iboy Sema Mishum Dini Zoifen Habu. Some explain because they were the subject of God's wrath. They were a type of excommunication, if you will. The Zoifen is an expression of wrath. The Tosfos points out why were they under the wrath of Hashem. So he says, the Tosfos Nizofen Hoyu, Omar Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Maisim Meraglim, from the episode involving the scouts, the spies that were sent to check out the land, and they brought back their negative report. And that got the Almighty angry, and that lasted all of those years in the desert. And hence, the northern positive wind did not blow. This explanation of Tosfos that the Nizoifen was a result of the Meraglim, he says, V'lo kamo shepirish b'kuntra, is not like Rashi's explanation, Mimaisa Egel, from the as a result of the golden calf incident. Sharei mochal emogosh baruch v'malahem solachti, with regard to the golden calf incident, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was forgiving. He said, I forgive you. She'achar kach nase mishkan v'hishro shechinosu b'neim. And after that event, the Mishkan was built, and the Almighty dwelt amongst us, showing you that that would not be the basis of Nizoifen Havu. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'boy Yisema, delo nivdor anani kavud. The reason for the non-blowing of the northern wind was so as to prevent the clouds of glory which enveloped the nation of Israel in the Midbar would not